Good evening, everybody. It's lovely to see you all here. I'm a little bit nervous, so please be gentle with me. Okay. Firstly, let me explain that unlike a good Church of England boy, I completely forgot it was Pentecost. So, the fact that I'm now preaching on a passage from Pentecost is sort of luck, I think. That's not how it has worked. Okay, so tonight I am preaching from a passage in Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Okay, so this little passage I will read to you in a minute is a story of a method. Okay, the method which God chose to share his gospel. So, just before we start, I just want you to think about something. I want you to picture yourself. Some of you may have been in this situation, I know I have, in a place where no one else speaks your language. None of the other signs you can understand. You're confused, you're lost, and you have no idea what to do. You may do my dad's in here, so I would love to get him back all the time. He's got me involved. And maybe his foreign method for ordering an ice cream, which goes, That's as far as he went. That may be as far as you can go, but suddenly you hear this group of people, okay? And they're speaking your language, but they're not just saying, hello, how are you getting on? How are you doing? You lost. Do you need a bit of help? They're saying the most amazing message and gospel that you have ever heard. Okay? So, I'm going to read out the passage. So, starting in chapter 2, verse 1. So, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. And to be amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Okay, so, the first bit is languages. You've heard there that there's this amazing array of different people that in our congregation now, thankfully, I don't have to repeat the same sentence again in Spanish like we did this morning, in Swahili, or anything else. Very thankful for that. There are so many languages in the world, but there's so many languages in your street. So I want you to think about those languages in today's terms. I'm not talking about someone from another country now. What's that? Is another language? I'm not going to go straight for that. I want you to think about the kid down the road that listens to hip hop and rap. I want you to think about the old lady that is down the other end of the street, drinking her lovely cups of tea and making lovely cakes as normal. I want you to think of the family that live next door with four kids, and you think, how can I talk to them? Okay, so when you walk into a supermarket, there's usually someone on the checkout, okay? Now, usually you'll probably see someone different every time, unless you go somewhere nice and independent. Do you talk differently to the person on the checkout? You might not think you do, but we all come from different places. So we all speak slightly differently. Okay, so God, at this point, gave the apostles this amazing gift and ability to talk to different people. And the apostles at this point had just been through a heart-wrenching, soul-destroying moment in their faith and their lives. Okay? They've just lost their mentor, their friend, their teacher. some of them have witnessed this man, they're called, all of these things, being led to a cross where he's battered, bruised, and killed. Watching him shed his blood, all for them, for you, and for me. Days later, this is the bit, they're praying, they're locked in the room, and there's some most amazing moments, okay, where the Spirit comes upon them. Flames upon their heads. We talked about the wind this morning, Russell did as well. And what God was doing, he was giving them this amazing power in order to share the gospel that Jesus has commanded them to share. And they needed this power to make disciples of all nations. When they're blessed with this amazing gift, it's at the perfect time when all these different people in Jerusalem, it's not just when they're sitting on their backside watching television, it's when everyone around them, they've got the perfect opportunity to do it. When the city of Jerusalem is alive, they're blessed with this amazing ability to talk directly to the different people in the perfect way that they will understand. Okay, so the power of the Holy Spirit gave them this ability, and what they did with that power was to declare the names of God. But I think before I'm going to go on to the second one, next slide, is there's one simple question. What is the gospel? Now, from the majority of people I know in this room, I would hope you could all tell me what the gospel message is. The gospel message is one amazing thing. But to me, it's made up a little bit of three different bits. Okay? So there's this thing called a cross. A method that was so brutal, it was only used to kill the worst of the worst. We should have been on that cross, not Jesus. The lowest of the low were killed on the cross, and yet it was used alongside the beatings, the shedding of blood, and everything else to kill someone, Jesus, as pure and as perfect as God himself. Second one is Jesus, this amazing guy who you can have a relationship with. Now, if you don't know Jesus, you've really got to know him. He's incredible. Okay? And he has this amazing opportunity for you to have a relationship with him. This pure and perfect guy was the one who was put to death on this cross. A man just like all of us, who had human instincts, human temptations, and everything else. He was determined, though, to carry out God's will, even if it meant giving up his own life. For all the things that you and I have done and will do wrong, he took everything, bad and unclean, and bore it upon his shoulders. As the weight of it all pulled on his hands, when they were nailed to that cross, and bore it so you don't either have to die for it. And so Jesus died, you sometimes may ask, well, why? That's very cool, this guy 2,000 years ago died, but just for me, well, why did he do that? There's this amazing little bit of a gift. This gift that I'm talking about is not some amazing Easter egg. You know, you can get some pretty incredible Easter eggs now. Christmas present or birthday present. Even the most amazing present you can think of in the world, even the best Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3 in the world. I'm talking about a gift of love and eternal life. And what value can you put on that? This man, Jesus, who was killed in the worst way, who was blameless and sinless, died and was tortured so that you and me could have this gift, eternal life. It's a gift from God that he wants us to live with him forever and have a relationship with him forever and never, ever be apart from him. So, there's that gospel message, okay? And so, in the passage we saw, that the disciples share the gospel message. Okay, so I'm trying to say to you tonight, there's this lovely message that you've got, fantastic message, amazing message. Well, why should you share it? And how should you share it? So the second little bit, the first big reason that I think we must share our faith and the message of the gospel with others is because we're called to. Now, I'm not telling you, and I will show you some videos later, some amazing evangelists, I'm not saying you've got to go and convert 1 billion people or 10 million people or whatever. Not all of us are called to do that. But all of us are called to lead a life that is of God and to share the gospel. There's a passage in Matthew 28:16-20, which some of you will know, which is called the Great Commission, which just reads, "The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" Now, God is always with us. And Jesus, in this passage, clearly states that we are to make disciples of all nations, not who we pick and choose. Well, I ask you, how can we make disciples of all those nations if we don't share the gospel? How can we make disciples of God if they never hear about the man called Jesus who has given everything for them because he loves them? Now, it's important to remember is that sharing our faith as we are ministering doesn't mean that as you're sitting at work, as you're sitting in McDonald's, it's the only thing you ever talk about. We need to be able to share the message in a relevant and interesting way, which is what we'll come on to a little bit later. There's another bit in the Bible, though, which just reinforces this. There's a passage in Romans, in chapter 1:14-17, which Paul says, "I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. But in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, 'The righteous will live by faith.'" Now, the start of this book talks about that he is obligated to everyone. He isn't obligated just to the man down the street. He's obligated to the whole world to share the gospel, just as we are called to in the Great Commission. And we should be eager, like Paul, to share this gospel if we really believe it. Paul is clear that the message of Jesus is not for whom we choose, but for everyone, as God wants everyone to hear it. Are you prepared? Am I prepared? Are we prepared to step out of our comfort zone to allow one person to hear the gospel? Are we prepared to do the ultimate thing and die so that someone can hear the gospel? An example, which I'm going to play you a short little video for in a minute, is of a guy called David Wilkerson. Now, some of you may know, he didn't die for his faith. And that's not where I go, but he stepped out of his comfort zone a little bit. This little skinny preacher man from a lovely country state in America steps right into the middle of the York's gangs. It's the middle of the Mau Mau's and the bishops. He wasn't afraid because of Jesus. He preached because of Jesus and because of what he'd done. He was prepared to put everything on the line so that one person heard the gospel. And I'm just going to show you a little bit from where one of the guys called Mickey Gumbel, this one you may have heard of, became a Christian. So excuse that it's from like a 70s film, it's a bit weird.
And you bishops, to forgive the white man's sins, just as God forgives yours.
Look at that, preacher. Did you just pull that out of me? This came from one of the biggest Simpsons, and you say that I'm supposed to love them. Now you're not free!
Hey man, my brother died for the love of them. And you say you want me to love them, homies? Yeah man, I'm gonna love them. I'm gonna love them with a sharp blade!
Are you sharp and listen to me? You say you gotta kill them because of what they did to you. You gotta kill them because of what they've done to you. Everybody's bragging about this atrocity and that tragedy. All I hear is what a rotten deal we've all got. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was perfect, and they crucified him. He never said one complaining word. When he died on that cross, he was a man like you. He had the same fear, the same feeling that you had. He felt pain, just the way you feel pain. But those nails driven into the flesh of his hands. His hands, sensitive part of the body. His feet. He drove a spike into his feet. He nailed his hands and feet to the cross. He didn't have to let them do that. He could have called down a whole legion of angels to take him down from that cross. He could have slaughtered all his tormentors. But he didn't. Bleeding. For you. So you wouldn't have to die here today. So you wouldn't have to kill here today. Why don't you stop crying about the sins of the past? Stop paying for those things. Man, it's all paid up. It's free. All you have to do is just accept it. Just open up your heart and let all that bitterness run out. Let Jesus Christ come in. Just open up your heart and let all that bitterness run out. Let Jesus Christ.
Okay, I apologize for the really cheesy little ending moment with the star above and everything like that. This guy, David Lucas, you just see there, is so passionate about his faith that he is prepared to challenge people. We'd stab him, we'd kill him, we'd chop him up into a million pieces. There's one famous bit that David Wilkerson will say about is that if you could chop him up into a thousand pieces and every one of them would still say, I love you. Are you prepared to do that? Because that's what we're called to do. We are called to share our gospel, whatever the cost. So, going back onto the second point. The reason we need to share the gospel is because of what it is. We, here, some of us, are so fortunate to have heard and understood this amazing message of what God and Jesus have done for us and why they have done it for us. There are people out there who are not so fortunate to have heard that gospel yet. We are lucky to know that there is someone there that will never give up on us. Passage from Isaiah 56 talks about how if you keep the Lord in different ways, he will make a memorial and a name for you in his temple. He gives you an everlasting name that you will endure forever. And one of the things says, and foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast my covenant. Now, that is written at a time when in Judaism the Sabbath was sacred. Is Jesus sacred to us? Do we hold fast to him? This passage talks a little bit about that anyone who clings to God will have him, have his temple built in them. We should be excited to share the gospel. I'm excited to be able to come here and talk to you about Jesus. It's an amazing message, which is so contradictory to what the world is now used to hearing. The world can't get its little head around why someone who never knew them, never met them, would be tortured, beaten, and killed to take everything that they and we have done wrong and bear it for them, so that they can have this amazing gift, which you can't quite put a value on, of eternal life. And it's our responsibility here to share this amazing gospel and message, so that all of the world may hear it. There's another evangelist who I quite like some of his stuff, and I think he's done an amazing job where he's done it. Called Reinhard Bonnke. Some of you will know him. He runs an organization called Christ for All Nations. Now, Reinhard is a German evangelist who, before he went to Africa, had little success in his evangelism. And he believed that God had called him to commit 1 million souls to heaven. I'm going to play you a little bit that just shows you what sort of happened and should show you the amazing power of a gospel message. Not of this guy, because it's not him who's doing it, it's God. So.
My name is Ryan Mendelke. I believe this and participate to one of the great miracles of our generation, the salvation of millions of souls on the African continent. Whether we are preaching the gospel in Africa, even if it's all, I could only dream about what God is actually doing today. It is absolutely miraculous. Millions upon millions of souls are entering into the kingdom of God. Children, young men and women, the cripples and the poor are all accepting Jesus Christ at an unprecedented rate. Gospel is changing lives and changing nations. In the year 2000, God placed a vision in my heart that burns like fire. It drives me to travel in the ends of the earth. Preach to love their hearts and believe God for more souls. This vision is 100 million souls, one for Jesus Christ in this decade. 100 million. And I believe what God has promised, He will fulfill. In just the past 5 years, a staggering 42 million documented salvations have occurred through the ministry of Christ for our nations. Glory to God. And with God's help, we will continue to preach the gospel of this miraculous harvest of souls. We will see 100 million souls saved at the end of this year.
Seen this amazing thing that is going on in Africa. With one guy, with God. If one guy with the power of God can start doing that, is it that difficult for us to talk to the person next to us? Is it that much of a challenge? You may think sometimes, and this I was talking to Sharon about this morning, that sometimes it's quite intimidating to talk to the youth. I find you lot much more intimidating than I find the youth. Youth are hungry, they want to hear it. And it's exciting to see a smile on their face when you talk about a guy who wants to be there for them, which some of them will never have had. There are people in your workplaces, in the cafes, in the bus stop, will have never understood that there's someone there that's never going to give up on them. So, just to move on to my third point, and this is a big question though, before I talk about how we might look at sharing this amazing message with others, is whether there is any point. Is it even still relevant to today's society? Well, I'm not going to even have an argument. The simple answer is yes. God has never been more relevant. In this time where things are hard for people and where sometimes life is not going well, there is such a need for a message of a man called Jesus who will never give up on us, who will never leave us. He is here now and as powerful as he has ever been. Could you, most of you are Christians, live without him right now? If you couldn't, how are others living without him? How would they be without knowing the amazing message of the gospel? So move on maybe to a little bit of application. Still thinking. Now I'll take you back quickly to the passage. We've seen these disciples who just go and do it, who have been given this gift to go and do it. Well, do you think they muddled it through? Do you think they went round and round like this? As sometimes I know we do, which is a human trait that we all do. Well, no, we need to share the gospel clearly. We don't need to protein the gospel up. Now, what I'm not talking about is making the gospel relevant. It's making ourselves relevant. We don't need to change the gospel. It's relevant, and it's amazing. It's us who need to be relevant. Paul says in Colossians 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So Paul is clearly asking here for people to pray for him, to share the gospel clearly. Now, we must pray for each other in order to hear his gospel clearly. We pray for those in church that are ill, who are not doing great, who are in our church group and our own people. But what about those who are not known to us? Could we pray together or alone that God will give us the strength, knowledge, and clarity to share his gospel with them? Are we passionate enough about it to pray for those scary situations to come up so we may share the gospel? Or are those situations a little bit too scary? Sometimes in you, some of the guys that I sometimes do some of the groups with will know I like to give them challenges. I can see some smiles. They hate this idea of a challenge because they have to come back to me next week and report how they've got on. But I also have to do the challenge. I have to risk everything to be in those scary situations. I still find them scary. I'm never going to not find them scary. But these conversations can come up easily and can start from nothing. I'm going to give you quick examples that have happened to me recently. And one's going to sound a little bit random, and it did to me how it began, but God decided to use it, and that's up to him. So, I have a work colleague from Kelly, who is a staunch believer against the gospel. That's probably the easiest way I can say it. Kelly doesn't think the gospel's for her, doesn't think Jesus is for her. And suddenly, we were talking, that this little voice came across in her car radio while everything was going off, going, and then the answer, and she said, I think my car was haunted. And just for the hell of it, I went, you know, it could be God. Which is a bit random, but it was the first thing that popped into my head. And Kelly's sitting there, and she says to me, well, God doesn't bother with people like me. Why would he bother with someone like me? I've done so many things wrong. And the only bit of the conversation we had was me going, God loves you, and it doesn't matter what you've done. He is you. He's for everyone. And the conversation ended there. Didn't mean I had to go into a massive long speech about how God's worked in my life and how God's done, We're still at work. We're both very busy. But to have 10 seconds with her, just saying that one thing, is probably the most I've had in 2 years with her. I'm ashamed it's the most I've had in 2 years. But God used that really weird little situation to bring it up. Another one is my next door neighbour. I can't remember his name, which is awful. But I came back from Bree last time with, some of you saw me playing keyboard, this massive keyboard case slung across my back. Now, it's not the easiest thing not to notice. So his first question was, where have you got that? Why are you carrying that? Oh, it's keyboard. Oh, how long have you been playing that? Oh, probably about 16, 17 years or so. And he said, oh, that's cool. I said, yeah, I played at church. It was great. And I love playing with God. It's amazing. And that was all that happened to him. At that little brief moment, a keyboard bag, and then, in a car radio. God uses the most bizarre situations, but do you pray for those situations to come up? You don't have to engineer situations. Life is our situation. The gospel should be shared in every conversation because our love of God should be so passionate that we cannot help but share it with others. Through the way we act, the way we talk, the choices we make, and the conversations we have. There's a quote, again, from David Wilkerson, that suggested, you win over people just like you win over a dog. And I'm not calling you a dog, so of course I've got that number. You see a dog passing down the street with an old bone in his mouth. You don't grab the bone from him and tell him it's not good for him, but growl at you. It's the only thing he has. But you throw a big, fat lamb chop. And I think I almost got to the lamb chop as well. In President. And he's going to drop that bone and pick up the lamb chop. His tail wagging to beat the band. And you've got a friend. Instead of going around grabbing bones from people, I'm going to throw them some lamb chops. Something with real meat and life in it. I'm going to tell them about new beginnings. We don't need to be grounded in the gospel. There's a phrase that I remember being used against me because my dad's a vicar. I was a Bible basher. I don't want you to go and be Bible bashers. I want you to be gospel sharers, because that's what it should be. So, secondly, I've said about making ourselves relevant to the world today. So you may ask me the question, how do we make ourselves relevant? Well, I said earlier, the most dangerous thing we can do is make the gospel relevant. It's about making ourselves relevant. We don't need to change the gospel and make it relevant, we need to make ourselves relevant. Can you be relevant again to that grandmother down the street, to the family next door, to the kid who listens to hip-hop and rap with his cap on backwards? Can you be relevant to your own family? Each of us has been brought up and lived in a different way, but we need to understand how we reach out to groups other than where we are comfortable. Do you know what the young person down the street is doing? Do you know what the young people in this church are doing? Do I know what happens on Wednesdays at 2? Do I know what happens on the internet? I'm not suggesting that you go to the internet before Jane tries to write the end. I'm not going to give you the answers for each of these groups. But do you even know within our own church what's going on? Do you make time to know what's going on in the world in order to think how you can be relevant to it now? I'm not telling you, as I know there's a man on the side that could disagree with me entirely, to join Facebook or Twitter. I am a staunch believer of both. I think they're fantastic. I love technology, so Facebook and Twitter are amazing. I'm not telling you all to go and join Twitter or Facebook, but sometimes sharing the gospel means stepping into those uncomfortable situations where you see a group of views on the screen where you would walk on by. You wouldn't say anything. I do that as well. And I'm 24. And I still think it was quite scary. But we have to get into those uncomfortable situations to share this message. We need to use real life examples of how the gospel has affected us within our own lives. Part of this is going to also relate to my next point. We've got to understand how, in my next point, it applies to people's lives today. So I was looking on the internet for applying the gospel to people's lives and stuff, and there was this great quote I found from Kirk Microsoft, who's a pastor of Marshall Baptist Church. He says quite clearly, let me show you how the gospel is relevant when your boyfriend sexually assaulted you, and now you're devastated because your whole identity has been wrapped up in being a girlfriend, and now you're single. Let me talk to you about the relevance of the gospel, your healing, and identity. Well, what I'm asking is, are you able to do that? I'm not saying you have to have been through that. Can you have the understanding of how the Bible applies to that situation, how the gospel applies to that situation? The gospel is clear, but we must understand how it's relevant and applies to those situations that come up and are important today. It's important for us, whilst we understand the gospel, to read the Bible, what Jesus says about different issues, what the apostles say about different issues. You don't need all one book. You just need the Bible. If there's any one book that should be on your shelf that comes out in and it gets thrown out and stuff, it should be the Bible because you're using it so much and you're reading it so much because these situations are coming up. And then go right back to the start. And so right at the start, this is my last little bit, it's about this amazing passage of the disciples just after Jesus has gone up to be at the right hand of God. It talks about how the Holy Spirit came down and filled them and gave them amazing gifts and abilities in order to share this amazing gospel of Jesus. Well, do you pray for that? Do we acknowledge the importance of this? And do we ask to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God in order to share this amazing message? We need to remember that it is not that we alone share the gospel, but we with God's power, and it is God through us that shares the gospel. We must pray. This includes me, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. We must pray to be given the strength and power in order to do this. All I've asked now is that the band can come up and just play some little bit of analogy quietly. And I'm going to put two prayers on the screen. There's one, get it up, is on the left. Yep. Which, if you're a Christian here, and you want the Holy Spirit to come into your life more and more, because you need to be able to do these things, so pray. The other is if any of you here are not Christians, and want to make a new commitment to God, or some of you who are Christians, sometimes this is why we need a fresh commitment to God. Why sometimes takes us on a little bit of a journey where we go off our commitment sometimes. So make a new commitment to the message of the gospel to pray. And if you're over in the corner, if anyone wants to pray about this, don't be afraid to come up. We are all human, and there is no judgment. After this time of response, finally, we're going to play a couple of songs after, just for us to close with.